Welcome to the Rosetta Health Podcast Series. With the 2019 annual Chic Conference coming up on August 18th at the Gaylord National Resort and Convention Center, we are excited to be hosting a special podcast panel with several HIE leaders who will discuss new efforts happening at their organizations, as well as what they hope to achieve at the conference this year. Today, we're joined by Phil Beckett, CEO of HASA, Michael Gagnon, Executive Director of Healthy Nevada, and Nance Shatskin of Shatskin Systems, who works with the Bronx Rio. And Phil, Michael, and Nance, how y'all doing today?
Just fine, thanks.
Very good.
We're doing well, thank you.
Excellent. Thank you all for joining us. This is really exciting to have a podcast panel of this level. It's really a big deal for us. So thank you all again for joining us. And yeah, let's start at the top with introductions and tell us about your organizations. And let's start with Phil and then maybe move to Michael, then Nance.
Yeah, sure. Thanks. As you say, man, I'm Phil Beckett. I'm the CEO with HASA here, a regional health information exchange in Texas. We cover about 164,000 square miles of both rural and metroplex areas. And our goals, and I'll come back to this towards later on in our conversation, really around the quadruple aims of reducing cost, improving outcomes, and improving the experience for both patients and physicians in our communities.
Excellent. Sure. We'll kick it over to Michael now.
Yeah, thank you. I'm Michael Gagnon. I'm the Executive Director of Healthy Nevada. And we cover the entire state of Nevada, probably a lot more square miles than Phil covers, I think, but a lot of it fairly unpopulated. We are trying to connect everybody in the state together in terms of all the providers, all the hospitals. We're trying to work on nursing homes and working through that to just improve the care, that care coordination for providers.
Outstanding. Nance, your turn.
Thank you. Nancy Shatskin. I'm the CIO and CISO for the Bronx Rio. I fill those roles in addition to having my own consulting firm that is engaged in all kinds of aspects of health information technology. I was around when the first grant for the Bronx Rio was being written, so I've had a relationship with the organization since before it was even officially formed. And now we have upwards of 10 years of data that we've been building. And so the Bronx Rio is at sort of the opposite end. We're a very small geography, but very densely populated. And with about 1.5 million people who live in the borough, we have data on over 4 million people in our master patient index today. And I've come to the conclusion that really health information exchange is about two primary topics: alerts and analytics.
Oh, that's great. Great insights there. Phil and Michael, anything else to add to that? Alerts and analytics.
I think Nancy hits the ball on the head with that one, because analytics is where almost all health information exchanges are going. We really have to move into the area of population health management. The initial concepts of, you know, providing a provider portal and letting doctors look up information was and still continues to be pretty valuable, but it's really not the end game by any stretch of the imagination. Really, it's to provide them the data they need immediately when during treatment, but also to give them a sense of what's going on with their patient and their population of patients in a broader way. And so, you know, alerts kind of tells them what's going on immediately, and analytics and the population health tells them what's going on, kind of on a community view of their patient population.
Right. And I would just add to that, I think we find that sometimes the most important patients for providers to interact with are the ones who do not reach out to the providers on their own. And so being able to provide population health lists, or what we commonly call intervention lists at the Bronx Rio, so that we can be targeting patients who need to be contacted by the provider, is really one of the services we find most valuable out of those that we provide.
Yeah, and I said, if I can add to that as well, it really is, the alerts are great, but you've got to watch for alert fatigue. You know, if you give somebody too many alerts and they're not relevant, then they stop using it. And all of our goal is that they use this data for improved outcomes. So I think, you know, one of our differentiators as health information exchanges is how do we turn that into information that somebody really needs and not send them what they don't need, and also integrate it into their workflow as well, so that it's really easy to access, so that it's just part of their natural process.
I think that's a really critical point, Phil. And one of the things that it creates is that we have one area of focus on the one hand, which is collecting all of this data and figuring out how to pipe it and clean it and be able to use it. But then we have a whole other side of what we do, which is really being able to work with our membership closely enough to get integrated into their workflow and to understand where the points are that they can take best advantage of what we have to offer. So I think I totally agree with you about the importance of being a part of the workflow.
Yeah, and I might add to that as well that I know Phil and I have spoken, and Nancy, I'm sure you're doing the same thing in the Bronx, is we're looking for ways to give providers only what they need. You know, the care summary documents we have today, you know, CCDAs or CCDs often are so verbose now that they really are hiding the information the provider needs that, you know, just to make decisions. And we've talked about and started to put together ways to skinny that down, shall we say, into a small summary document that gives them maybe just a one pager with a small amount of information. And then if they need more, they can go look for the rest of the medical record. But often that tells them right there whether they need to go do any additional viewing of, you know, kind of the more complete record. Because providers just don't have the time to be looking through, you know, 30 page care summaries on patients.
Gee, Mike, I don't think you and I have even met yet, and we totally agree about how horrible CCDs are. So I would say that one other thing that we in the HIE community are trying to do is to put the federal program into some proper perspective, because the federal focus on CCDs is a bit of a disaster.
Interesting, Nancy. Now, are you talking more about TEFCA with that? Is that what you're going towards with that?
I mean, I guess we can tie some of it to TEFCA, because to the extent that I have absorbed all of that, I think that TEFCA continues to stand by the notion that continuity of care documents or CCDs or CCDAs are an important currency for health information exchange. But I think, and the EMR vendors are operating under the mandate that they feel, in order to help the practices meet their requirements and get the money that's available to them. And so that takes everybody down the CCDA route. But I think those of us who really work with the data, and especially with efforts to provide only what's necessary when it's necessary, as well as to be able to do population health analytics, have found that the CCD is really a step backward, not a step forward.
Phil, Michael, any additional thoughts on that one?
But I guess, you know, and I can go both ways. Because, I mean, you don't want perfection to get in the way of process. So I think, you know, having that, you know, that ability to exchange data, it was put out there as a standard. And it has some useful times. But I think, as Michael was saying, you know, sort of taking that platform and that concept, and I think Smart on Fire as well sort of takes this to the next level, that ability to just deliver either within the context of a CCDA or through other mechanisms, just the information that's needed. But that takes a lot of listening about what does that person who's consuming the data really want to know? You know, what's their relationship with the patient at that specific time?
That's great. Great insights there. We've started off on the right track here, I think, in terms of making this a dynamic discussion. And let's take a moment just to go down the line and just tell us about some of the new things that you all are doing. I often see, you know, Healthy Nevada popping up in the EHR Intelligence Magazine articles and stuff like that. And I know you all are tremendously busy. So yeah, maybe we'll start with Michael. Tell us about some of the new stuff that you're working on, and then we'll work over to Phil and then Nance.
Well, apparently our marketing program and our social media thing is working, Ben, if you see us popping up in there. So, yeah, we're working on a fair amount of work with Rosetta, actually, to integrate more and more data into the health information exchange. While we have an effective provider portal, it isn't really our primary focus for providers gaining access into the data. We much prefer them to use their electronic health record and query our data more directly. And then secondly, we'd like that data to be along the lines of what we were just discussing, which is that, you know, instead of viewing a 30-page CCD, can I provide certain specialists or primary care docs with a much smaller, skinnied down version of that information that then allows them to say, okay, I now know the 7 or 8 pieces of information I really want to know from the health information exchange about this person. And if I want to go find more, I know how to go get it. I can look at the documents. I can use the CCDs And I'll spend that time because I've seen something in that skinny document that makes me want to spend that time to go do that. The other thing we'd love to be able to work on, and we're just getting into this now, is what I call the concept of non-events, because non-events are almost just as important as events, meaning that when a patient is supposed to go see their primary care doctor after they've been discharged from the hospital, when that doesn't happen, their likelihood of being readmitted goes way up. Their medications are not, worked on with their primary care doctor. They don't get the follow-up treatment they need. Maybe they missed their specialist visit. And so if we can figure out how to alert care managers on the fact that that, patient did not go see their primary care physician, that's really important to us too. So, while alerts and events are really important, so are kind of the non-events.
That's great. Thanks, Michael. Phil, anything to add here in terms of new efforts on your side?
Yeah, no, and I'm with Michael there. There's non-events, what the patient didn't do, didn't fill their meds at the pharmacy, didn't, get, are critical, and being able to work those populations. And again, I think that comes back to that workflow. Hey, here's a list of 1,000 patients that apparently need a colonoscopy, and how do I make that into some kind of actionable process? So we are doing some of that. But I think for us, in Texas, we don't have any state funding or anything for the health information exchange. Is purely a business model where everyone pays to be part of it. And so for us, really, it's focusing on how do we drive revenue, especially for physicians, for hospitals. But I think the business proposition for physicians is tough. Join the health information exchange, send your data, send money. But what do I get back out of it? So I think really for us, and for example, the transitions of care, Medicare will pay an additional $80 for an office visit. If you see that pay, if you contact the patient within 2 days of a discharge and see him within 14 days, so that one of those $80 will more than cover your health information exchange cost. But how do you know that happened? Well, again, that comes back to us letting you know, or your care coordinators know, hey, this is your patient. They were discharged from this hospital today for this reason. So they can follow up, set an appointment, and then get additional revenue. So I think that's a lot of our focus, working with our physicians and our health plans on how do we drive revenue for others.
Awesome. Nance, love to hear from you.
Well, I would reinforce what both Michael and Phil have said. I think when we talk about intervention lists, we are looking at both events and non-events. I like that term, Michael, that should be called to the attention of the clinician or a clinician, whether that's a treating doctor or a case manager. And I think there are just a couple of things that I'd say have been important to us that I'll mention here. One of them is engaging community-based organizations into the health information exchange has been very important, something Bronx was a little bit early to do, and we've found it to be extremely successful. So whether it's a food bank or temporary housing or just care management services, we have a lot of organizations that provide, I guess some people refer to it as 360 care, but things that are not directly taking your blood pressure or your temperature, but critically important to your overall health, like whether or not you have a place to sleep and whether or not you're getting at least 2, if not 3 square meals. And so our community includes a lot of those non-specifically healthcare organizations. So that's been an important piece of what we do and an important part of what we're continuing to do, especially with the federal program for delivery service reform that is pushing money through into some different directions. Related to that is also that we've done a lot of work to engage the behavioral health and substance use communities, even though there are higher controls of confidentiality and consent that are required in those environments. Those are really key pieces of information to complete health picture for a lot of the citizens of the Bronx in New York. So we spend a lot of time in those areas.
Excellent, excellent. Great insights there. And obviously, Sheik's coming up, big conference here in a few weeks. Let's go down the line and hear what you all hope to get out of the event, besides spending time with each other, which I'm sure you will do. And yeah, let's start with Nance on this one.
Well, I think that Sheik is really the most wonderful conference that any of us can attend, because it's all people who are engaged in this still relatively new world of health information exchange. And so, you know, unlike HIMSS or AHIMA or other big national organizations where people are involved in one little piece of this, this is a time when you're with colleagues who really are living in a world very similar to your own. So what I look forward to is I always learn something. I always hear of ideas and get ideas from exchanges with others from around the country that trigger new things that we can be doing in the Bronx or that we can start arguing for at a federal level or as it now becomes more regional and we're exchanging data among health information exchanges across the country. So it is really seeing everybody that I'm excited about because of the conversations that will take place when there are a couple of hundred of us with this very niche interest all in the same room.
Awesome. Phil, would love to hear from you. I know you have a couple speaking events too.
I do have I'm going to be on the stage both talking about social determinants of health and master person index or, you know, patient matching, which is so fundamental and basic to what we all do. You've got to have one version of a person. You can't have them split. So looking forward to those. But I'm also with Nance. I mean, for me, you know, networking, listening, learning what works and what doesn't. And just, you know, the culture there is around sharing. Everybody's very open about that, you know, and you're free to bounce harebrained ideas against each other and get quality feedback. And I think people are honest and in their feedback. And it's a wonderful place, again, to listen, to learn, and to share, and to even validate or refute some of the things that you've got going on in your own head. You just can't do this stuff on your own. Like at our HIMSS booth, you know, it takes a village. It really does.
Yeah, totally. Michael, would love to hear what you're hoping to get out of the conference.
Yeah, this is, I think, the fourth one I will have attended, and they've continually gotten better and better over the years. And Nancy, I agree with you that this is like the ultimate birds of a feather. It's birds of the exact same genus. So we really get the most out of this because other people are doing or have already done or have failed at something that we are looking to do. And the failures teach us as much as the successes, sometimes more so. I like to say, to some degree, I figure out what not to do from this conference and as opposed to what specifically to do, because every market is a little bit different, but all share similar kinds of underlying technology, process, operations, you know, many things are the same. I'm really looking forward this year to bring several of my team to the event so they can get that same exposure to others who are doing the same job they are. So I'm bringing my medical director and our outreach director and my operations director this year to get them to become familiar with what other people are doing. We seem to sometimes get caught in a little vacuum of, you know, our own models and our own states, and we all think we're different. And while there are differences in every state and every region, there's also a lot of similarities about the way you go about making this thing function. You know, it's the same electronic health records you're trying to collect with the same kind of data on similar kind of patients. And there is, I think, emerging kind of real models for the way you take this stuff and move it forward. And whether that has to do with sustainability, the functions of the health information exchange, underlying technology, whatever that is. So I'm looking forward to getting my team involved. I'm also looking forward to getting the dialogue more advanced in terms of TEFCA, not so much maybe the way the federal government has it envisioned right now, although I don't think they've done a bad job with version 2. It certainly was better than, you know, V1. But how do we move forward with our own version of patient-centered data home, which, you know, could be one of the networks that connects people together in the country? And what should that look like? What should we be doing that not only makes us highly competitive with those like Commonwealth and Care Equality, and maybe even have some things that they just simply cannot do? Those organizations and those networks really aren't designed to do things like alerts, but patient-centered data home is probably really ready to do alerts. And so, you know, continuing that dialogue around how do we move this stuff forward? How do we take this technology and really advance it? The other thing I hope to get out of it, it is an opportunity, and I'm starting to discuss this with Phil at the very beginning of this before we were on record, was how do we start to share technology among ourselves? You know, why am I buying a piece of technology that three of us can buy and share costs when we all need a master patient index? We all need some way to do population health. We all need some alerting mechanism. You know, these things are becoming not commoditized yet at all, but it very much, we all need similar kind of capabilities. And why are we all expending, you know, so much money on this when we could potentially share those in a much more effective way? And that's one of the things I hope to get out of it, is advancing the dialogue about how we really kind of take the next big leap forward in terms of health information exchanges and advance ourselves.
Outstanding. Anything else to add to that, team, before we get to our last question?
You know, to sort of reiterate that what Michael's saying, you know, that this is not a technology problem, really, and we're not, technology is not necessarily our core competency as a service organization. So being able to share those resources, use them more effectively and more efficiently, enables to be out in the community doing more of the things that we need to be doing to help coordinate care and deliver that at a price point and a value point that makes it super attractive, more attractive than the alternative.
Right, Nance?
I think we've covered that one pretty well.
Okay, perfect. Well, here we'll do just the final question and we'll make this kind of a fun round. And I'll just ask you all anything else to add or any parting words that you'd like to add, to throw out there before we close it out. And let's start with Nance.
Well, you know, have you figured out yet that we're sort of a dangerous bunch to do that with? Because all three of us have plenty to say. But, well, I think, you know, my closing words would have to do with the fact that even though we've been doing this now, I've been doing it for 14 years, working on health information exchange, and we've watched it growing and maturing, I think that we've really entered the most exciting phase now where there is enough infrastructure in place, there is enough proof that this is achievable and is also a big help, so that we're really reaching the point where we can see the fruits of our labor. And can we know in the Bronx, for instance, that we have been able to reduce cost on Medicare patients, that we have been able to improve care delivery and close care gaps. And so I think we're going to move into this phase where there really is massive adoption and we're not so much having to convince people that what we're trying to do is a good idea, but rather they're going to be lining up at our door saying, please, may I be involved? And having been around from the very early stages where we had to literally explain what we were talking about, this is a very nice phase to be getting to.
Excellent. Phil, parting shots?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would really like to know is how do we better tie health plans and physician hospitals together? The health plans, you know, that's where most of the money is in this. And, you know, and they are, for example, you know, requesting medical records from hospitals and physicians. That's a lot of hassle on their side. But, you know, the health information exchange could do that. But then there's all the trust side of that, you know, is the health plan now monitoring me or watching me? And so how do we have those dialogue together where those two groups of stakeholders, we could be an intermediary, ideally in that we can freely move data between physicians, hospitals, and health plans and have the appropriate guardrails in place, whatever they are, so that can all flow seamlessly.
Awesome. Michael, parting shots?
Yeah, I believe that I've been a really strong believer in health information exchange for a really long time. Even before that term was used, we were building laboratory networks that exchanged, you know, lab results among hospitals with reference labs. And to me, it's an obvious step in the direction of healthcare reform to build a network that allows data to freely flow to where it needs to go so that providers and care coordinators and even social workers and others get the information on the medical care that's being delivered and not being delivered, the events and non-events as we spoke about earlier. I believe that it really is going to be the data engine that drives healthcare reform, nothing less. yet there are tremendous barriers still because the payment system still doesn't yet really fully support health information exchange, especially in my market. It's pretty fee-for-service based, but it's changing. And I think Nancy hit the nail on the head with this one again. And this is that as we change and as the healthcare system moves more towards value-based care, health information exchange will be the key data element and the key data function of that.
Excellent. What a perfect way to end this podcast interview. And for all of our listeners, you just heard an exclusive and very special Rosetta Health podcast panel where we were joined by Phil Beckett, CEO of HASA, Michael Gagnon, Executive Director of Healthy Nevada, Nance Schatzkin, who's with Schatzkin System, but she also serves as the CIO for the Bronx Rio. And all three of these HIE leaders were very kind to spend time with us this afternoon, sharing their insights about what they hope to achieve at the SHE conference, all the great things that they are doing at their respective organizations, and really what the future holds for HIEs. And Phil, Michael, and Nance, thank you all so much for your time today.
You're very welcome. Thank you. Look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks.